stranger to us, but maybe a few people are new to the meeting here. I first met Gary at some type of Patriot gathering, probably in New Hampshire. I heard him speak. I said, we got to get this guy speaking to some of our functions in the Birch Society. He's become a member since then. And I said, we started Camp Constitution in 09. I said, this guy has to be a part of this. And he is another national treasure, in my opinion. And I think they have a great great ministry. And my vision, goal, is to get these two men on some type of national speaking tour. What do you think of that?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. The more we have them, the people dedicate themselves to making it happen. I think maybe this little book will open up a lot of doors for these two fine men. So without further ado, I want to bring in Garrett Lee. He doesn't need this mic, so I'm just going to turn it off. You can clap. He only looks tough, but he's a real gentleman.
Oh, Adam, can you shut that monitor off? The blue.
Which one?
Are you going to be using that screen?
Oh, no, we can shut it off.
Shut the monitor off, because it causes a problem with the video.
Okay, Garrett.
We will have no other king but King Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
I want you to know I'm going to keep my head covered. I'm under the covering of the Lord, so to speak. But also, I am an officer and a gentleman, so I know to take off my hat and tip it to ladies and so forth and so on. But I want to make a point. I have liberty in my DNA. I have liberty as a mindset. And I'm going to ask you to stand with me, if you would, in honor of the reading of God's Word. And Representative Nodder knows my persona at the State House is I even ask atheists and whoever else to stand in reading of God's Word, because it is His Word. In John chapter 16 at verse 29, His disciples said unto Him, Lo, now speakest Thou plainly, and speakest no proverb. Now are we sure that thou knowest all things, and needest not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou camest forth from God. Jesus answered them, Do ye now believe? Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, and that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone, and yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Praise the Lord for the reading of His Word. That was from John chapter 16, verses 29 to 33 in the King James translation. You may be seated. Well, on this, the Pearl Harbor Day commemoration, for that or any other day, I want to talk to you about responsible patriotism brings liberty and independence. The shot heard round the world. Well, here's my shot heard round the world. No, I will not stop doing what I'm doing. I hope that'll be your shot heard round the world. Mm-hmm. And by the way, I can change the world just like that. Now that I've got your undivided attention, let's say, do what the atheist, liberal, leftist, one world, communist, socialist, God-hating, tyrannical, megalomaniac progressives will not do, and give me a fair hearing. Let's make liberty lemonade from those atheist lemons. Amen?
Amen.
Stability in government is essential to national character and to the advantages that are annexed to it. James Madison said that. They that give up essential liberty to purchase a little temporary safety deserve neither liberty nor safety. That was Benjamin Franklin. Amen. In the Historical Review of Pennsylvania, 1759. And Oliver Wendell Holmes, Jr., American poet, said, Liberty is often a heavy burden on a man. It involves a necessity for perpetual choice, which is the kind of labor men have always dreaded. And I see that amongst the patriot community in America today. Many people dread these opportunities that they have. Please do not dread that. And think about the fact that, yes, you can change the world just like that by not being like those very people that you disagree with. It's a burden, but with God's grace and mercy, the responsible patriot can carry it. And can the liberties of a nation be thought secure when we have removed their only firm basis, a conviction in the minds of people that these liberties are a gift of God, that they are not to be violated but with His wrath? Indeed, I tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just, that His justice cannot sleep forever. Who do you think said that?
Jefferson.
Thomas Jefferson said that in the Notes of the State of Virginia, Query 18, 1781. Isn't it interesting how Thomas Jefferson is so often maligned and John Adams is maligned and so forth? Folks, the reason for this is quite simple. First of all, I hope you understand, Thomas Jefferson did not write the Declaration of American Independence. It was a committee of five people that wrote it. And they submitted it to another group of people who signed it. And I promise you, of all the signers on there, and they were all formidable, responsible patriots, John Witherspoon said he would never have signed it if in any way it defamed Christianity. He would not have put his name on it. I don't often quote people from other countries necessarily, except when it suits my purposes. There was a French-Algerian author in his book, Resistance, Rebellion, and Death, Albert Camus. He said, freedom is not a gift received from the state or leader, but a possession to be won every day by the effort of each and the union of all. And I believe there is a tremendous message in that. By the effort of each of us and the union of us all, because being a native New Englander with 200 or 373 years of ancestry in this country and having been born not far from here, just over the border in Lexington, I want you to know something. We have an individualistic spirit here in New England that is very good. But at the same time, we have to use that individualistic spirit to have a union together. I like the Irish and the Scottish people, or the Scots. To my knowledge, I have many bloodlines. I don't have any Irish in it, but I think it all mixed together and came out Irish. But there was a Scotsman who wrote a book about the rights of man called Vindicae Gallicae. It's not because we have been free, but because we have a right to be free, that we ought to demand freedom. Justice and liberty have neither birth nor race, youth nor age. And that was from Sir James McIntosh. And I believe that's true, and many of the things that my older brother, I'm sorry, Stevie, I just had to say
it is what it is.
You came before me by a few short years, just a few, said to us very similar things. If we don't get back to common sense in this country, we'll soon have more than Obamacare, Dodd-Frank, and ridiculous EPA rules. We'll have hundreds more rules and regulations, and then our way of life and common sense will be gone for good, but not for the betterment of this land. See, I'm trying to present to you in a responsible patriotism some points that you need to point out, not just to people of your own age group, but some of the younger folks. I speak in a lot of young folks' situations. Back a couple of months ago, I spoke in Sturbridge Village. Five generations of people that turned out and gave me the opportunity to speak to them, but I mostly directed it a lot towards the young parents. I said, you know, you're busy, you're trying to earn a living, yeah, you want a better car, you want a better house, but do you understand what will happen to you and what your future is going to look like if you don't get involved in a meaningful way? And see, a lot of them are starting to get it. That's becoming some of the greatest time of my life. Instead of spending more time out in a place like this, you know, out there hitting a white ball around or something like that, I really have no use for that. I'm sorry, I'm not putting anybody down here. We're at a country club. I'm just saying, you really want to have some fun? You want to have some enjoyment? Mentor people.
Come on.
We'll talk some more about that. These days, it's not popular to be thankful. News cycles turn on the disenchanted, the complainers, the perpetually aggrieved. But as we have just celebrated Thanksgiving, we Americans have a great deal for which to be grateful. That is responsible patriotism when we are grateful. And by the way, I know this will probably shock you, and perhaps I'm not right about it. My daughter once said to me, "Dad, you always think you're right." And I said, "Well, babe, would you feel better if I walked around saying I'm wrong, I'm wrong, I'm wrong, I'm wrong? Would that make you feel better?" But see, the issue is, as far as the Thanksgiving that we have just passed through, I think on the worst day of America is better than the best day in a lot of places in the world. Do you know that?
Amen. Amen. Amen.
You know that? You've got to give a little more of a clap offering than that. And see, here's something, being a Mayflower descendant myself, that when I found this out, and I didn't know this for many years, yes, I am a product to a certain degree of the government school system. It was very different in my days at the Fisk Elementary and Diamond Junior High School and Lexington High School and Valley Forge Military Academy and some of the undergraduate school that I went to. But I want to tell you that I did not know that the suffering that the people went through in the first winter after the Mayflower landed. After those English settlers sat down to eat with their new Indian friends, yes, they had Indian friends, the Wampanoags had a 50-year peace treaty with the Plymouth Pilgrims. The future was obviously not clear, and as H.U. Westermeyer wrote in his history, the Pilgrims made 7 times more graves than huts. No Americans have been more impoverished than those who nevertheless set a day of Thanksgiving. Were they responsible patriots?
Yep.
Yeah. I guess they were. Mm-hmm. You see, half of them died frozen in their beds in the first winter, but when the Mayflower, which was contracted to go back in the spring, nobody, how many?
Nobody
got back on the boat. Because they were on a mission. You can read that mission, and I'm so thankful. Years ago, Hal Shurtleff, and if you think I think a lot about him and appreciate him, I do. And some of the others that I've known for many years, like Bill McNally, who's been out there, I appreciate these people because they're not just fair sunshine patriots and summer soldiers. They've been at it, and many others of you there too, and also Mr. Sargent, who's sitting very close to me, who years ago tried to convince me that I should become a member of the John Birch Society. It worked, Joe. It worked. Whatever you did, it worked. Right? And looking back, it's amazing to see the arc of history, if you will. The new world anchored by the faith and buoyed up by the hope of its inhabitants. And after much death and famine, grew into an actual nation. Then the real challenges of government began to set in, and how could we be governed in such a way that wouldn't tempt our leaders into power grabbing and heavy-handedness? Oh yeah. In retrospect, as we see the brilliance in the way the founding fathers answered those questions, we wouldn't be a nation governed by a king, right?
Correct.
No more kings, not for America. And by the way, if you don't know this, go to the first Samuel chapter 8 and find out kings were never, say that with me, kings were never God's idea. They were man's idea. Because those men wanted to be like every other country. Well, I don't want America to be like every other country. Not supposed to be, wasn't designed to be, wasn't birthed to be, and I'm not going to help it be like every other country in the world. Not supposed to be. So in retrospect, we see the brilliance in the very way the founding fathers answered those questions. We wouldn't be a nation governed by a king. Rather, we'd govern ourselves. Say it with me. We'd govern ourselves. Now that is responsible patriotism, and it does bring with it liberty and independence. We need to be able to stand for that. We need to be able to explain that and explain the benefits. When somebody's trying to sell you something, and by the way, I'm really not trying to sell you anything. We take donations for whatever we have on the table back there, and I'm not running for political office, so I'm not trying to get your vote. I say that wherever I go across the country, and I have been asked to run for office, many different offices over the years, and said the best thing that I can do is stay with my calling as a preacher of the gospel, as an American patriot, and stay with that calling, and I'm enjoying it now better after 40 years of doing it than I've ever enjoyed it. But a nation must have a government for our protection and safety, as the preamble to the U.S. Constitution states. And so as the founders created government, our government, they also created a constitution that limited the powers of our leaders. The brilliant three branches of government, I like to say four because we the people is really the fourth branch, isn't it? As a construct, shows the founders had a good grasp on human nature. A lot of people today, I hear things coming out of their mouth, say, I guess you don't understand, this is a fallen world. I guess you don't really understand human nature. They didn't need Tolkien's Lord of the Rings trilogy to show them that power corrupts. Students of the Bible, they knew about the fallen nature of man and created a constitutional safeguard against it. Now that's responsible patriotism. Yeah. And I'm thankful for all of those responsible patriot founding fathers and the liberty and independence they bought with what? Blood. With treasure and honor. We read about that in the last part of the Declaration of American Independence. So much do I revere them, and listen very carefully to what I'm going to say, because if you take nothing away from what I'm saying today, and by the way, did you know there's a test? Oh, there's a test, and Reverend Stevie Kraft is going to give it to you, and you don't want to mess with him. He's a bantamweight. You ever seen how they can pick people over the head and whatever? I'm thankful for all those responsible patriots and founding fathers in the liberty and independence they bought with blood, treasure, and honor. So much do I revere them, I am doing and would do as they did. I am doing and would do as they did. On September 15, 1787, George Mason expressed a sentiment that could possibly change the way we do things in modern America. As the framers were reviewing the final stylistic changes in the Constitution, it was Mason said he supported in concept the provisions limiting the power to propose amendments to Congress, but that the draft under consideration had not gone far enough. According to the convention records, Mason thought that if left up to Congress itself, no amendments of the proper kind would ever be obtained by the people. If the government should become oppressive, as he verily believed would be the case, in response, Governor Morris and Elbridge Gerry from Massachusetts made a motion to amend Article 5. To introduce language requiring that this requirement that the convention be called when two-thirds of the state legislatures petition Congress. Article 5 has been described as having, thanks to Mason, a constitutional emergency cord to be pulled in case the government grew too large and corrupt. In case the government grew too large and corrupt. They're not just the founding fathers, they were the founding prophets of America, right? Now the issue is whether you understand Article 5 and all these other things. Here's a thought that I want to point out to you, because many of you, like myself, have supported the 10th Amendment. And by the way, I'm not concerned, obviously, as Reverend Kraft said, about being politically correct. That's censorship. But I am concerned about being correct. And truly, the 10th Amendment is not states' rights. The 10th Amendment is the enumerated powers. Do you understand that?
Yes.
There's a real important reason for that. Because we are seeing, and ask Representative Nodder, and she's a representative in the third largest legislative body in the world, only second to the U.S. Congress and the Parliament of England. Correct?
Yes.
Corruption happens even at the state government level. Mm-hmm. And there's a way to police that, if you will. And of course, we know in the Second Amendment, the well-regulated militia and so forth and so on. And it's not my topic today to go further in that. We have one of our members, Dan McGonigal, who's written on those things and has researched them, very important. He's got a book out that's very good. But I do want to point out to you that sometimes people think, well, if we just gave it over, gave everything over to the state governments, that we wouldn't have that corruption. Hello? You live in Massachusetts? You been to Beacon Hill lately? So obviously it's not that. And by the way, and I'm not going to go into the entire story, Hal knows about it to a certain degree. A few weeks ago, I was called upon to come down and assist a single mother who was having trouble with the juggernaut homosexual agenda in Newton in an elementary school that I remember years ago became, as a government school, a project of Harvard and so forth and so on. And you talk about setting it up. This was a young black mother, single mother, two elementary school kids. They were ready to steamroll her, but this responsible patriot showed up. They didn't know it was coming. And I'll tell you what, things went a whole lot different for them than they thought it was going to go. And I'm thankful for that, by the grace of God, that I had that opportunity. Now, what would Mason say if we had a chance to read our newspapers today? If he had a chance to read our newspapers? Article 5 seems to have been created for such a time as this. And rather than calling a convention for a specific amendment, Citizens for Self-Government, CSG, Reverend Kraft talked about all these, you know, initials and everything, and CSG, NWO, and whatever else. You got to get trademarked, of course, because you can't use the same one somebody else's. But there's only a short amount of letters in the alphabet, right? Has launched the Convention of States project to urge state legislatures to properly use Article 5 to call a convention for a particular subject, reducing the power of Washington, D.C. And incidentally, just recently, a group met in Mount Vernon in Virginia at Washington's home doing some kind of thing. And there are all kind of groups that are out there. I'm telling them, you know, it's fine for you to go out and do these things. People have had constitutional conventions, but they didn't run it the way the original constitutional convention was. Many people are revisionist historians. And by the way, please do not try to tell me what great patriots that atheists are. You will never, ever, ever get that a point across to me, and here's the reason why. Because an atheist does not believe our foundational documents, that we were endowed by our Creator.
Right.
Or they don't believe, for example, Sunday's accepted clause, or AD. What's that mean? Anno Domini.
Right.
So please don't convince me what great constitutionalists and what great patriots atheists are. That's not true. It cannot be true. It's a solution as big as the problems that face us. Perhaps that is responsible patriotism, which brings with it liberty and independence. Say that with me. Responsible patriotism brings with it liberty and independence. See, it's not just a matter of saying, gee, I'm really patriotic. I'm proud to be patriotic. I'm proud of America. It's a matter of what does that bring with you and what is truly patriotism. And see, I find a lot of people as I travel across the country. I was just out on the West Coast, spent a couple weeks out that way. Many people are going through despair. Now, the scripture that I chose to read for you today from John chapter 16 in the last verse there says, basically, you're going to go through tribulation. There are tribulations there in the world. There are difficulties, but don't despair, because why? I have overcome the world for you.
Yeah.
We are overcomers, not undercomers. If we read the last part of Romans chapter 8. And so instead of feeling despair, let's be grateful for George Mason and people like that and the many other founding fathers that they had a presupposition, we'll say. But let's move past gratitude and actually honor their legacy by actually doing something to preserve the nation so many people sacrifice to create. If you love what is right, you will hate what is wrong.
Come on, say that. Yeah.
And by the way, do you know the word hate is in the Bible?
Yeah.
That God hated Esau. Yeah. Why? Because he gave up his birthright for a morsel of food.
Mm-hmm.
He gave up his birthright for another rubber chicken dinner, which we've all had lots of. Use of personal power and authority. We the people. The first three words of the preamble to the United States Constitution. A use of personal power and authority. We the people. Hello, who are you?
We the people.
We're we the people. Remember us? No people will tamely surrender their liberties, nor can any be easily subdued when knowledge is diffused and virtue is preserved. On the contrary, when people are universally ignorant, right, Sam? We were talking about that. And debauched in their manners, they will sink under their own weight without the aid of foreign invaders. Samuel Adams' letter to James Warren, November 4, 1775. Harvard University. Jim, our cameraman, and I went and filmed at Harvard University and Harvard Square and all the historical things there. Do you know that John Harvard that started that place, this is a little segue here, they have a statue of him in the center of the campus, and people line up, and what are they lining up to do? To read the Bible that's in his lap? No, they're lining up to rub his left foot. It's nice and shiny. And I thought, if John Harvard was alive, you'd be in the stocks. They'd call that witchcraft. They'd call that, you know, a talisman. No, I don't think you're going to use, he'd use that foot, but it wouldn't be to rub. See, a government of wolves is bred and fed. A government of wolves is bred and fed by a citizenry of sheep.
Yep.
Make yourself a sheep, and the wolves will eat you. The larger the citizen, the smaller the state. If we were to look at Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5, 6, and 7. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. There is only one sovereign, the Creator God. All human authority, be it vocational, familial, ecclesiastical, or political, is limited and jurisdictional. Anytime human authority oversteps its jurisdictional borders, the natural law of God, God's law written in our hearts, demands resistance. Demands resistance.
Yeah.
And the amount and type of resistance is commensurate to the amount and type of usurpation. Let me read that again. Let me say that again. When I wrote this down, thinking about this, I mean, we could talk all day about that. And the amount and type of resistance is commensurate to the amount and type of usurpation. When my children accidentally spilled their milk, I just said, go get a cloth and wipe it up. But when they took their milk and threw it down and said, I'm not drinking this milk. Oh, now you've enlisted a whole different level of, shall we say, correction because of the level of your disobedience. I've lived all over the U.S. and found that most Americans love liberty, but get fooled into partisan politics.
Yes, yes.
My goal is to wake people up and help them see it's not about left or right.
Come on. That's
right. It's about freedom.
That's right.
I'm a responsible patriot, not choosing windmills or foolishness, trivial pursuits as so many do. Let me say that again. I see many patriots today that, as far as I'm concerned, and call me judgmental if you will, but I call myself a fruit inspector. And by the way, it won't be very long before I'll celebrate 7 decades on this earth, so I have the right.
Come on.
Amen. I have the right to be able to inspect. Amen? Amen. I still have all my fingers and my 2 thumbs. I'm missing a few other parts, but at least these hands still are here. And my point is, when we talk about what is right and what is left, we know. We should know. And I can tell you that a lot of people in the patriot movement are wasting their time, wasting their resources after trivial pursuit, and I have to ask them, what's the point? What is the point? Why are you doing that? Why are you taking valuable time and resources? What are you going to achieve with that? Gee, we're going to take that hill over there. Why? There's nobody on that hill, and it doesn't serve any purpose in this war we're in. Why are you going to take that hill? Well, so we can say we took the hill. That's a trivial pursuit. See, liberty and independence are there for those who will self-govern. Did we talk about that before?
Yeah.
Oh, I must be having a premature serenity. Premature serenity. Remember that. You can have premature serenity. Self-governance. I don't need somebody to tell me when to do. By the way, I got up very early this morning. I didn't even get up by an alarm clock. I didn't need anyone to tell me that I had to be here probably a half an hour before it started. Did you call me and tell me I needed to, what time I needed to be here? Why is that? Why didn't you call me?
That's right. You're a reliable individual. That's why. Self-governing.
I rest my case. See, a lot of people do not know how to take care of themselves. And they're going to the government, take care of me, take care of me, from the cradle to the grave. And that's why many people, and Janine is showing the affirmation, because she knows when people come, when people constantly come, and there are actually some good people in government, and I have mentored all of them. Well, for 25 or more years at the State House in New Hampshire, and I've spoken at 48 out of 50. Yeah, I even know there's 50 states, right? Somebody in the White House doesn't know that, but I do. And I want to tell you something, in mentoring them and telling, there are some people in there who really want to do what they're there to do. And they have a hard time, especially when people say, well, take care of this, and get us that, and get us this, and we want this, and we need that, and take care of us for this, and take... Well, hello? Yeah. In my neighborhood, the guy who plows the snow knocked my mailbox down 2 years in a row. Well, that's a false statement. I don't know it for sure. I didn't see him. Somebody else told me. But that's hearsay, and I don't go by hearsay. But it doesn't make any difference. I said, I'm going to make my mailbox in a way that nobody's going to knock it down. And they haven't since. So everyone said, well, you're going to go to the town, aren't you? And ask the town to pay for your mailbox, aren't you? I said, no. If I go to the town, to the selectmen, and say, pay for my mailbox, they're going to raise taxes. Yeah. They're going to get on the guy who plows and tell him, slow down. And when he slows down, we're going to have to hire another guy to plow snow. Do you get where I'm going with this?
Yeah.
Take care of yourself.
Yeah.
Especially you native New Englanders.
Mm, yeah.
Just because you're froze to death in your bed doesn't mean you're dead. The propitious smiles of heaven can never be expected on a nation that disregards the eternal rules of order and right, which heaven itself has ordained. Who said it?
Washington.
George Washington in his what? First inaugural address, 1789. Was true then, is true now.
Mm-hmm.
Wake up! Suit up. Fill up. Stand up.
Mm-hmm.
Speak up.
Mm-hmm.
Put up your do not cross swords with me sign and stay at your post.
Mm-hmm.
I love that one, do not cross swords with me.
Mm-hmm.
You should see the look on some people's face when I say that. Do you want to cross swords with me? Do you want to cross swords with me? You know, I've been threatened with every kind of death and dismemberment. We're going to jump in the elevator and we're going to stab you with AIDS-tainted needles.
Oh.
I said, trust me, this skin is so thick, I've got a lot of hard bark on me, those needles won't even pierce my skin. We're going to do this, we're going to cut your leg off. I said, do you have a license to practice medicine and surgery? That's against the law. And please, I'd be glad to help you out. Go get your eyes examined, because I want to promise you something. I'm a man of peace. I'm a man of God. I love the Lord. But I'm not going to let you cut anything off of me voluntarily.
Yeah.
You got the message? We who are the gray hairs, the white hairs, the hardly any hairs, we have a great opportunity that the Lord has given us. People will listen to us. Children, young people will listen to us. The Lord kind of built it in. I know you think, my kids don't listen to me, my grandkids don't listen to me. Just stand there like I had to do with my grandson when he was 2 years old, and he put his hands on his hips, and he was saying, feed me and feed me now. I looked at him and I said, he's related to me. And I just looked at him and looked at him and looked at him and looked at him, and he started to cry, and he said, "Grandpa, I'm sorry." I said, "Dude, the day may come when you can stand off your grandpa, but it's not today." See, every American... Let me rephrase this. Are there too many Americans that are basically truly useful idiots? Well, here's what I'm going to say. Not on my watch. Every American should take time to see what our enemies within our republic are attacking. See? This is where they expose themselves and what it is that they fear the most. Responsible patriotism is doing more of that. Just like I said, when you see these things going on, instead of going after trivial pursuit, find out where they really are attacking, what really scares them, what they really don't want to see happening, and go after that.
Right.
Like what happened there at the Barr Elementary School a few weeks ago. What do America's enemies attack from within? Well, Reverend Kraft alluded to a lot of them. Let me ask you, what is under attack today? Her patriotism, by the way, I refer to America as a her, just the way is the Church of Jesus Christ as a her. Did you know that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because Jesus is the bridegroom and the Church is the bride of Christ, so it's a her, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Her patriotism, her morality, her Christian life, her independence, her sovereignty, her trustworthiness, etc., etc., etc. Responsible patriotism can change that, just like that, by not being that way ourselves.
Come on.
I forever go in and see businessmen. How are you running your business? And I find out they're not running their business. They're Christians. They have a business. It's not a Christian business because they're not running it the way of Christ biblically. We can make some significant changes right in the realm that we're in just like that by not being like those that we don't agree with, that we don't believe in, that we know are wrong, that we know are not right, that are doing evil. Don't do those things. And I believe that's a biblical truth. No government any more than an individual will long be respected without being truly respectable, nor being truly respectable without possessing a certain portion of order and stability. That again from James Madison in Federalist number 62, 1788. You see, there's a lot of ineptocracy, I'll call it. Ineptocracy, yeah. Wow, where'd that come from? Lots of that around. Responsible patriots can and will do better, won't we?
Yes.
Won't we do better?
Yeah.
See, instead of saying, okay, well, what a mess that is, you know what? And I was with a friend who was totally buried in mess recently. I said, no problem. Give me the authority to clean your mess up, and I'll have this place shipshape in a matter of a couple of days. He says, sure, go for it. In a couple of days, I had it in order. Okay, it took 28 cubic foot bin. But I had it in order because I know how to straighten out messes. I know how to fix problems. Many of you probably have that same experience in life. Many of you are thinking that you're not needed anymore. Let me tell you, there are businesses in this country that could use your wisdom and your knowledge and so forth and so on. So when we see this ineptocracy out there, say, well, I'm not inept, and I can come in and I can fix it. What a great promise that is. Oh, I always take my broken car to a mechanic who says, well, I don't know what to do. And you want me to pay you for that? No, I can go to the shop class down at the government school and get that. And they probably could fix it. So we don't live... See, America is really under an attack on a daily basis from an anarchistic, antichrist, un-American, communistic, totalitarian mindset.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It was stated by the murderer, Joseph Stalin. America is like a healthy body, and its resistance is threefold. It's patriotism, its morality, and its spiritual life.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Did you say that?
Yes, I did.
Do you have a copyright on that?
No.
You don't mind me repeating it?
No, you have to write the copy.
Just as long as I copy it right.
Just copy it right. Don't get it twisted.
No defeatism. Defeatism is totally incompatible with responsible patriotism. Defeatism is totally incompatible with responsible patriotism. With this as the meaning of the entitlement that binds us together as a people, Americans rose to become the first and greatest self-governing people in the history of the earth. Now, as we are slyly being seduced to define, redefine our title in terms of material income and licentious power, that's what I would call it, many Americans watch thinking that they are helpless as our way of life declines. I'm not helpless. Am I looking at a bunch of helpless people?
Nope.
I saw everybody finish off breakfast. You didn't ask me to help cut up your meat. Americans watch thinking that they are helpless as our way of life declines. Not so. Some are slipping back into the choking fog of what? Fear, violence, and distrust, pervasive through all the domains of what? Tyranny. Those are the things that are pervasive in the domain of tyranny. Well, I want to tell you something. Not on my watch! Did I make myself clear enough?
Yeah.
Yep. Yes.
I'll say it again. Not on my watch. Sometimes you whisper and it's actually more effective, right? Someone has stolen my country. I had to add this. I started saying this about 25 years ago. Someone has stolen my country. But I had to add something else. I did not sell her or give her away. I am no traitor, like some people. And I will get her back, and I'll get her back now. Freedom is independence of the compulsory will of another. And insofar as it tends to exist with the freedom of all according to universal law, it is one sole, original, inborn right belonging to every man in virtue of his humanity. You'll be shocked when I tell you that it was Immanuel Kant that said that, who's a German philosopher, but he was raised as a very devout, pietist Christian. If America is no longer a Christian nation, it's just a momentary stop. Think about this when we're telling this to the younger people. If America, and I'm just saying, if America is no longer a Christian nation, it is just a momentary stop along the way to no longer being a nation at all.
Oh, yeah.
In any sense worthy of our heritage and the special destiny it should portend for the God-intended future of humanity here and elsewhere. On Lexington Green, they said it was the shot heard round the world. They even said in the declaration, we're putting this declaration out for the whole world to read and know why we've done what we're doing. Education without action leads to frustration. Action without education leads to frustration and fanaticism. Responsible patriotism that brings liberty and independence is right education with strong, devoted, dedicated, never give up actions where the Spirit of the Lord is, as 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, there is liberty. Liberty and independence must at all hazards be supported, John Adams. And Robert Welch, who I knew as a boy, the founder of the John Birch Society, said, less government, more responsibility, and with God's help, a better world. That is responsible patriotism. Now stand with me if you would. We're going to take this choir on the road. Oh, come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Oh come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of angels. Oh come, let us adore him. Oh come, let us adore him. Oh come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. We will have no other king but King Jesus.
Amen. Amen.